From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues this series of studies in Hebrews chapter 11, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called The Report Card of the Faithful, based on verse 39 of the chapter. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection known as Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Wrath to God's Glory. The text is Psalm 76 and verse 10. Surely the wrath of men shall praise thee, the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. Wicked men will be wrathful. Their anger we must endure as the badge of our calling, the token of our separation from them. If we were of the world would love its own. Our comfort is that the wrath of man shall be made to redound to the glory of God. When in their wrath the wicked crucify the Son of God, they were unwittingly fulfilling the divine purpose, and in a thousand cases the willfulness of the ungodly is doing the same. They think themselves free, but like convicts in chains, they are unconsciously working out the decrees of the Almighty. The devices of the wicked are overruled for their defeat. They act in a suicidal way and baffle their own plottings. Nothing will come of their wrath which can do us real harm. When they burned the martyrs, the smoke which blew from the stake sickened men of popery more than anything else. Meanwhile, the Lord has a muzzle and a chain for bears. He restrains the more furious wrath of the enemy. He is like a miller who holds back the mass of the water in the stream, and what he does allow to flow, he uses for the turning of his wheel. Let us not sigh, but sing. All is well, however hard the wind blows.
Sometimes the music of my soul grows
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? Or, how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it for you. Speaking of the heroes of faith recorded in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39 of the chapter says, And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, that which characterized all the Old Testament saints in Hebrews 11, whether named or not, may be summed up in the constantly recurring phrase, by faith. As the progress of school children is indicated in their report cards, so the spiritual condition of Christians in every age is marked by clearly identifiable attributes. The indispensable characteristic of true Christians is that they are saved people, born again through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then, as we'll see today, believers are a singular people. They have different values and desires from the world around them, for they are seeking to please God. In addition, God's people are a serving people. Once a person comes to know Christ as personal Savior, there is implanted within him a desire to serve the Lord. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message called The Report Card of the Faithful.
First part of the testimony of faith then, received people. I want you to notice very closely allied to that is the fact that it bears witness that they are a singular people. Watch the wording very carefully. These all having obtained a good report through faith. These. In other words, these people who had saving faith are the only ones to whom God bore witness that they were accepted in his sight. In Hebrews 11 verse 6, we read, without faith it is impossible to please him. Now that does not sit well with the flesh of man. If you go through Old Testament history, you'll find there is a people saved by grace. And outside of those people, there was nobody else saved. Now that, again, is a most unpopular doctrine in this ecumenical age. We're living in an age when the world has concocted a new brand of Christianity. Of course, it's not new, and it's not Christianity. But it appears to be both new and Christian. It sounds very loving, but what it is the old-fashioned heresy of universalism that somehow it's wrong for God to make any distinction between men, it is wrong for God to bring some to heaven and not bring others, and that ultimately all will safely arrive there. And all you've got to do is the best you can, all you've got to be is the most sincere you can, and even if you're not, ultimately God will overrule that. The thinking is given in the works of many modern theologians that the church no longer believes in a God who visits judgment. Any preacher, for instance, who has ever dared to say that the AIDS epidemic is one part of the judgment of God is told, hey, this is old-fashioned and you're crazy and you're unloving and you're unkind. As if you couldn't minister to people once you've announced the judgment of God upon them. We are told, oh no, you mustn't say that sort of thing. You must say this is unfortunate. And you must say that it is not the result of any particular wicked activity. You must show love. Ultimately, you know, and I have stated publicly from this pulpit before, that if all the predictions are true, every church in Greenville and every church in America is sooner or later, and I believe sooner than later, going to be face to face with people they know who are suffering from this. But if it is the result of a wickedness of life, you will only minister in love to people who are under the judgment of God if you face them with the judgment of God. If you face them with God's wrath and God's curse and God's hatred against their sin, if you tell them the truth that the law of God has them under condemnation, but then bring them to the third chapter of Galatians and say, Christ our substitute was made the curse of God for us, and he bore the curse, and he can remove the curse, and he can remove the condemnation, and he can save the soul of the sinner who's most worthy of hell. That's the love of God in action. The love of God does not deny the reality of his wrath against sin, but the love of God announces the wondrous gospel truth that grace is greater than all our sin, and by faith in Christ, souls will pass from death unto life, but only those souls. We have read about Abel, but standing beside Abel, there was Cain. And Cain labored to establish his credibility of saintliness before God. Remember, before he was a murderer, he was a religious zealot.
And it was out of that perverted self-righteousness that he committed murder. But he did not obtain a good report. In the ark with Noah, there was Ham, who brought his children under the curse of God by his immorality, wickedness, perversion, and sin. Beside Isaac, there was an Ishmael. And in the same womb as Jacob, there was an Esau. And Cain and Ham and Ishmael and Esau and all of their ilk did not establish a good report with God. When you look at some of them, I think of Esau. I would say that if Esau were in Greenville today, he would be one of the most popular characters that you could meet. If you ever visit the Middle East, you'll find in many individual Arab people a reincarnation of the spirit of Esau. That happy-go-lucky, sort of welcoming personality. Esau, quick to boil over, but also quick to simmer down. Esau, who came out to meet Jacob when Jacob thought that he was going to meet him in anger and bitterness and slay him. Esau came out with open arms, in many ways a warm-hearted character. The best way I could describe him, really, I've talked about the Arabs. He would be a cross between an Arab and a Southern Irishman. And that is quite a personality. Very attractive fellow. But he wasn't saved. He wasn't saved. Only those who have received Christ have a testimony with God. And nobody else. That's a fearful thought. You think of America. Forget about the 4 billion that are reckoned to be in the world today. Think of what? The 230 or so million people in America. Think of them. Look across this vast multicultured country today. And then get this in your mind, the only Americans that stand before God accepted are those who have received Christ, the Lamb of God, as their sacrifice, their substitute, and their Savior, and who have been washed in His precious blood. Only they, and nobody else, as a testimony with God. Bring it right down into this meeting. We sit in the same pews. We rub shoulders. We hear the same sermons. We have the same light of God shining upon us, the same rays of the Sun of Righteousness beaming down upon us. And yet some in this meeting have a testimony before God that they're accepted, and some in this meeting have not. Brothers separated because one saved and the other not. Parents and children separated because one saved and the other not. Friends on earth, yet they are separated by the blood of Christ, some trusting and some trampling. These and these alone have obtained a good report. The third thing that faith testifies is that these saved and singular people are a serving people. All the events of Hebrews chapter 11 took place as these people humbly sought to serve the Lord in their day and generation. You know, a man can do no more. We read of David that he served the Lord in his generation.
That's a very, very important statement. There are a lot of people who profess faith in Christ, and they're living in the past. I think one of the great things that has happened in the last 25 years is a renewed interest in Puritan theology. The Banner of Truth Trust in England, and later with a branch in America, has been greatly influential in reproducing many of the great treasures of the Puritan era. When I started out in the ministry, all you could do was go down to a second-hand bookstore and buy old, musty books with the backs falling off them. In fact, it was only this year that I got a set of John Owen that I could actually spend time in reading, because my others were so old and musty and dirty and the backs falling off them that I spent more time blowing the dust away than I could reading. My wife finally took pity on me and bought me a new set of John Owen. This has been a great development over these past 25 years. But along with that development has been a great stupidity. And that stupidity is of people who have tried to walk out of the 20th century and live in the 16th and 17th centuries. And it can't be done. Now, the great theological insights of those men are timeless, but they used the scriptures to serve their generation, not to live in past history. I get more than a little rattled when I read of ministers' meetings and congresses and all the rest of it. There's one that sticks in my mind of a very erudite bunch of nincompoops that met in the south of Ireland some years ago, and they were reading papers on revival. And I knew the character who was reading the paper on revival, and if he had met revival, the shock would have killed him with a heart attack. A less revived person, you would find it impossible to imagine. But what they were doing is intellectually submerging themselves in the historical data of other revivals. But they were not serving their own generation. These men that we read of here were a serving people. They were serving their God in their day. They were facing the challenge of their day. They were challenging themselves, the sins and the strongholds of the devil in their day. In other words, they day by day saw their task as living daily for the glory of God. How do you live for the glory of God? Well, the testimony here is you live by faith in Christ. You do not live for the glory of God merely by human effort, though, mind you, there is effort here. There is a paying of the price here. Let me get this clearly to you. You will not live to the glory of God without it being hurtful to the flesh, without there being a sacrifice as far as this world is concerned. But as I pointed out as we went through Hebrews chapter 11, the very idea of sacrifice to the Christian is intrinsically different from what it is to the world. To the world, the idea of sacrifice is a mere giving up. It is a deprivation. To the Christian, the idea of sacrifice is the very pinnacle of fellowship with God. It is an entering into a knowledge of Christ. It is an enjoyment of the finished work of the cross and living, denying the flesh surely, denying the world, but it is living in the light of Calvary. Yes, there is sacrifice, but I tell you, that all can only be through faith in Jesus Christ. You serve the Lord by faith. You get the desire to serve the Lord as you look unto Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.